It's time for Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout, coming to you from Pensacola, Florida. Over the next few minutes, Pastor Swarthout will share from his heart and bring you a message from the Word of God. We would like to invite you to visit our website at christiansforamerica.com. That's Christians, the number four, America.com. It is our prayer that you will be blessed and encouraged by today's message. And now, Craves Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Don Swarthout. I am so glad that you have decided to share this time with me in God's Word. Today, I want to share with you from the Word of God, and what I want to teach you is a combination of two different things, which I have combined into one message. One of these is the idea that the truth will set you free, and the other is a phrase which should be used over and over again in the Bible, and that phrase is God's true nature. To me, this phrase, the truth will set you free, could be said to describe God's true nature. Actually, these two phrases could be used as one phrase, and one phrase ends up as being a descriptive phrase of what I want to talk to you about first, which is the truth you know will set you free. The word truth is used 100 times or so in the Old Testament and more than 100 times in the New Testament. Jesus himself used this word, the word truth, about 27 times. The word truth is only used by Jesus a couple of times when he referred to the word free. Jesus used the word truth connected to the word free in a famous quote in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I have felt the happiness, joy, and peace of God because I know that I know the truth and have been set free. I have been set free because I follow Jesus, and I have a firsthand experience of being set free. When you know you have been set free, this is a very happy moment. What have I been set free from? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is sin, but it may be more accurate to say I have been set free from the bondage of the law of Moses. The law of Moses is generally accepted as the Old Testament. There is a great deal of bondage in the Old Testament. I want to warn you about taking the word law and always meaning the law of Moses. The word law is used in the Bible any number of times, and it was referring to the law of various things like the law of prophets or the law of the Lord, a lot of different things. But these laws may be acceptable to New Testament Christians just the same. Jesus came to bring and install a new covenant or testament between God and man. I am under that new agreement between God and man, or said another way, I'm under the New Testament or the New Covenant between God and man. This is made clear by scriptures in Matthew 26:28, where Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." In Mark 14:24, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." In Luke 22:20, Jesus says, "This cup is of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." In Hebrews 8:13, the Bible says, "In that he made the first covenant old, now which decays and waxes old, is ready to vanish. There are many other scriptures which say that Jesus came to install a new testament or a new covenant between God and man. In Hebrews 8:6, the Bible says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by which he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Because of this new testament or covenant, I have been set free from the law of Moses." The New Testament teaches us that God was grace, mercy, and love for all of us. I am under this agreement, this testament, this covenant between God and man since I was born after the coming of Jesus Christ. So in this case, I am made free from my sin by the grace and mercy of the love of God. The New Testament forgives all of our sins by the grace and mercy and love of God. This is one of the things that I've been made free from, all of my sins. Boy, I had a bunch of them too. And I am free from all of my sins, past, present, and future. Remember that grace, mercy, and love, when we know them, came from Jesus Christ. Jesus was responsible for the implementation and the putting into effect the New Testament or the New Covenant. Another thing I heard from someone is, people don't care how much you know about God until they know that God loves them. In the New Covenant, God emphasized his grace, mercy, and love. The word grace is first found in the New Testament in Luke 2 and 40. And it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." So God began to emphasize his grace. Further reference to grace was made in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, God was described as being full of grace. In John 1:17, "The law was given by Moses, but the grace and truth came from Jesus Christ." This proves that Jesus Christ came to earth to provide and install what we call grace, which is emphasized by God in the new covenant between God and man. In Acts 4:33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And grace was upon them all." In Acts 15:11, the Bible says, "But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." See, God had grace, and through his grace, you have been given the salvation of God. In other words, through grace, you will be saved if God saves us all by his grace and not because we earn it. This makes it clear that I am free from his grace, freed by his grace, which leads to salvation. God gives me the free gift of his grace. Grace leads to another free gift, salvation. Salvation is equal to being set free by God, if you understand it. Remember what I said about truth? Well, what I'm referring to is we will be made free by the truth we know. In other words, it does not do any good unless you know the truth. The truth you know will set you free. This is a promise from God. You will be only set free by the truth you know. As John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. This is truth which you must know. This scripture tells us the truth about the truth which came from Jesus. In John 4:23-24, it says, "But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." This scripture tells us that the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. I wonder, do we worship God in truth? Do we get into the Spirit and into the truth when we worship the Father? John 8:32 says, "The truth you shall know shall make you free." This is a promise from God. This scripture tells us, if you know the truth shall make you free. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In this verse, Jesus is letting us know again that he is the Son of God, and all authority has been given to him by God, because no man will go to the Father but by him. In John 17:17, Jesus was praying to the Father and Jesus and asked the Father to sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. This scripture was given to Jesus as he prayed to the Father. It emphasizes that his word is truth. The Father asks to sanctify them through your truth and is told your word is truth. In recent years, there has been an emphasis upon teaching faith and confessing his word to bring faith. Now, I believe in what's saying the word of what God says, but believers need faith in God. However, I believe that many of us are missing an important key, and that important key is having faith in anyone means developing your relationship to where you know them so well you can completely believe whatever they say. In the same way, Christians having faith in God depends upon them getting to know him better. Knowing him becomes very important when we realize everything we receive from God comes by our faith in him, including our own salvation. Everything we receive from God comes because we know God. Romans 1:18 describes God's true nature to all of us when it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." This scripture lets us know that the righteousness of God still includes his wrath against all ungodliness. As an aside, I have frequently said, God loves you until you die. Well, and that is because of his word. There is nothing he can do except honor you at the time of your death. God always tells the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, furthers God's true nature when it says, "Rejoice not in inquiry, but rejoice in truth." This scripture is an instruction to mankind, telling us to not rejoice in anything that is sinful, but rather we are to rejoice only in his truth. Be aware of men who lie in wait to deceive us by their doctrine, which is of men and not of God. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another." This is a similar commandment given to Moses which means that we are not to lie to one another or to another man. Why is it so hard for Christians to tell the truth today? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, "And with all the deceit of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they had received not the love of truth, that they might be saved." This is God's true nature. God does not wish to perish, anyone to perish or not to be saved. That's according to 2 Peter 3:9. In 1 Timothy 2-7, Paul was telling Timothy that since he is ordained as a preacher and as an apostle, he believes it is very important for him to speak the truth in Christ and to not lie. Otherwise, it would not be possible for him to be a teacher of the Gentiles or anyone else for that matter. One of the reasons people find the Christian life so challenging is simply because they have not developed a personal relationship with God. People have not developed a personal relationship with God. They do not trust Him because they do not know Him intimately. Remember, when you know someone, it is not hard to believe what they tell you. The same is true of God. The Word of God is very simple. It is, at least it is simple to me, and it is if I study the Word of God. So I would say the Word of God is so simple if you study it. There is nothing hard about God's Word. A problem that most Christians have is that they fail to understand the Old Testament. Rather, they frequently try to mix the Old Testament with the New Testament. And it just does not work when it comes to how God dealt with sin differently in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. The biggest problem we hear is we do not hear really the Word of God. Instead, people are thinking about worldly things like where they're going to have breakfast and what they're going to have for lunch. Please get your mind clear so you may understand what I'm saying. When we understand that God is a good God who loves us, it takes away all of the effectiveness of the weapons of Satan against our faith. Why? Because we have proven to Satan that we have faith in God and our faith is real. You know the word that says, by His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. And if you were healed, then you are healed. You probably know all about faith teaching. You probably have to confess, you know that you have to confess the Word and all of the other principles. Yet you have this nagging doubt which you cannot overcome. It makes you wonder, is God really going to heal me? Fear today would be totally cast out. If you understand the perfect love of God for you. In John 4:18, the Bible says, "Perfect love casts out fear. If a person becomes fearful and wonders if God will, what God's will for them is, will come to pass or not, and then they don't understand God and His immense love for them. If God loves you enough to send His only Son to die in your place, then doesn't He love you enough to bring about His will in your life? If you really knew about God's love for you, you wouldn't doubt Him at all. God couldn't be so easily discredited if you really understood how much God cares for you. Our human relationships are so imperfect, and that makes them an imperfect relationship, parallel to a relationship with God. However, I have some relationships that are good enough that I don't doubt them because I know these people. Our relationship with God is exactly the same. He wants us to be sure we can trust Him. God wants us to be able to trust Him, no matter what the circumstances. This is really what this sermon is all about. You getting to know God so well that no one can talk you out of His goodness towards you. Most Christians do not read God's Word on a regular basis. Therefore, God's Word is not going to make a real difference in their lives, particularly in their understanding of God's true nature. Some people do read God's Word on a regular basis. However, there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible which make God appear to be schizophrenic. In fact, I once had a relative ask me if God were going against the scriptures by changing His ways from the Old Testament to the New. My answer was no. Jesus is just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Actually, God did not change. Man changed at the time of sin of Adam and Eve. Their sin led all men to be born with a sin nature. This was not the way that it originally was. And yet God continued to be forgiving toward him, toward them, and man had changed, but God had not. God was fellowshipping with Adam and Eve after he ordered them out of the garden. The reason he sent Adam and Eve out of the garden was because he loved them so much. God did not want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever in a body corrupted by sin. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have cancer destroying your body and yet you had eaten from the tree of life and could not die? In Genesis chapter 4, God was fellowshipping with mankind, and that was after the fall of Adam and Eve. We know that God was still talking to Cain and Abel, and this is why Cain and Abel knew how to bring a sacrifice. They were informed by God to bring a blood sacrifice and to give their fruits, the first fruits of their labors to God. Adam and Eve didn't have blood sacrifice explained to them in the garden because they had no transgressions to atone for yet. God was still talking with Adam and Eve and with Cain and Abel on a daily basis. God was not imputing nor holding their sins against them. God was treating them the way of the Old Testament law of Moses was to reveal sin should be dealt with. Instead, God was acting in grace, mercy, and love. In fact, God confronted Cain about killing of Abel, and God protected Cain against anyone else killing him. In Genesis 4:15, God did not approve of the sin, but He protected the first murderer on the face of the earth. And this is clear, that God did not change His attitude or forgiveness. Men changed when Adam and Eve committed sin. The reason God implemented the law of Moses was God was thought to be too accepting of sin. After trying the law of Moses because men had changed, God decided to go back to the way He had always dealt with sin, which was grace, mercy, and love. In fact, Romans 2:4 says the goodness of God leads you to repentance. In Matthew 24:37 is a really telling scripture. Jesus said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus said that mankind will be sinning the same way that they were sinning in the days of Noah when Jesus returns. We have not yet seen sin manifested again to the degree it was in the days of Noah. However, 2,000 years from the time from Adam to the time of Noah, the world became so corrupt that has never been as corrupt since. When God gave Moses the law, he was saying, here is proof that your sin is unacceptable. However, it was not God's desire to give the law of Moses to mankind. Why did God wait for almost 2,500 years before communicating the law through Moses? The primary reason for it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God never wanted us to seek out salvation out of fear of his wrath. Rather, he wanted us to seek out his grace, mercy, and love. God's grace extended to Adam and Eve because he did not want them to know how terrible their sin was. And he didn't want them to know the depth of their sin. What would it have been like if they had been given a glimpse of the billions of people who were going to hell for all eternity because of what they had done? Remember that they were going to live forever in the garden. God did not want Adam and Eve to know the depths of their sin, even though they were guilty. He did not want to impute their sin to them, so he operated in grace, mercy, and love toward them, and the descendants of Adam and Eve would have started avoiding God if they had been made to understand how vile they actually were. They wouldn't have been able to believe that God offered them grace, and they might have turned themselves over to Satan. Instead of pouring out his wrath upon them, he operated in grace and love and mercy toward them and all of their descendants by showing Adam and Eve and their descendants grace, love, and mercy. God was drawing them to himself that they might accept his promise of redemption through the coming Messiah, and be saved. Due to his love, God wanted a plan of redemption for us who live on the earth. Jesus was God's agent for redemption. Jesus was born of a line of people who were not corrupted. This is why it was important for Jesus to be born of a virgin. God operated in mercy, grace, and love, not imputing sins to them. Was this because God approved of sin? No, quite the opposite. Instead, he didn't want people to know how vile and filthy they were. Besides, the knowledge of sin drives people away from God. However, sin multiplied so greatly before the flood and after the flood, God handed down the law to Moses. Again, this was not God's first choice, but it was the only choice that mankind gave to God. In God's preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, it was necessary for him to give the law of Moses so the people would know they couldn't live up to the law and they needed a Savior. God sent a Savior into the world in the form of Jesus Christ, who was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world and was sent by God. Jesus Christ was clearly the Son of God, became the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ was sent to this world for that everyone would know that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. For all of us.
This has been Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout from Pensacola, Florida. We pray that today's program has been a blessing to you. For more information, visit us online at www.christiansforamerica.com. Once again, that's Christians, the number 4, America.com. Or visit thegospeltruthcenter.com. We would love to hear from you. You can write Pastor Swarthout at 4677 Belvedere Circle, Pace, Florida, 32571. or you can email Pastor Don at swarthout5, that's the number 5, at AOL.com, or call 850-736-8613. Once again, that's 850-736-8613. Thank you for listening to Crave's Gospel Truth with Pastor Don Swarthout. We look forward to hearing from you.